Welcome to the Maritime Noon Phone-In. I'm Costas Halavrezos. Maritimers, put down your prepackaged sandwiches, your floppy pickles, your flattened burgers, your tasteless triangular wedges of processed cheese. Pour out your pop and lend me your ears as we embark on a quest for hyper-deliciousness. Call with your tips for choosing a great restaurant. The perfect dining experience is, you might agree, a subjective thing. For some, it might consist of an evening of munching and lingering around an unkempt table littered with olive pits and breadcrumbs and half-drunk bottles of wine. For others, the perfect dining experience might require linen napkins, candlelight, and a very expensive cognac. But whatever your definition of the perfect dining experience, it probably doesn't include a snack pack with three ketchup packets on the side. What it probably does include is fresh ingredients prepared with skill and care and served in a comfortable environment. Well, our guest today is New York-based food writer Jim Leff, co-founder of the website chowhound.com. And as you heard in the first hour of Maritime Noon, Jim is on a mission. He's eating his way across North America in search of culinary treasures, those restaurants that take the time and make the effort to prepare delicious food. He's at the tail end of a week-long tour of the Maritimes, and now he wants to hear from you. We want to hear your secret to choosing a great restaurant. What are the signs you look for? The toll-free number is 1-800-565-1940. That's 1-800-565-1940. In the Halifax area, 420-9336. And again, we don't want direct recommendations of particular restaurants. We just want to find out what you look for, what really matters for you. 1-800-565-1940, toll-free, and in the Halifax area, 420-9336. Jim, welcome to Maritime Noon.
Thanks, great to be here.
Glad to bring you into the studio.
My pleasure.
I should mention, for people watching on Country Canada, the digital cable station, they can't see your face. There was a bit of a flurry of activity just before the phone in, because it's very important you don't see a restaurant critic's face.
Yeah, you know, I want to be able to go into a restaurant and have the same experience that the people who read my stuff have. I'm working for them. I'm working for eaters. And if I start being some sort of food important guy of some sort in the restaurant, then it just kind of changes everything, and I can't have the real experience. And just for myself, I just like to get into the heart and soul of the place. I like to make friends on a good, honest basis rather than, oh, here's that guy who writes, you know?
Now, when you were out roaring around Halifax with Diane Paquette, and we heard some of that trip today in the first hour of the program, there were a couple of things that were real turnoffs for you. I remember you were going to one restaurant, you saw some things that were promising, and then you saw Fettuccine Alfredo. And you said, we're out of here.
Yeah. Actually, it wasn't just Fettuccine Alfredo. It had the two words you never want to see on a Greek menu, stir fry.
Yeah, it's not indigenous cookery in Greece.
Well, not everything has to be so indigenous, but just, you know what I mean? Like, you know, stir fry, no. I mean, brownies aren't indigenous, but that wouldn't have written them off.
But the Fettuccine Alfredo, that was it. That was the capper.
Yeah. You know, I mean, if I want Greek food, I want food that's made for real Greek people, not a restaurant that's trying to give everybody what they want. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even want what I want, to tell you the truth. That's one of the tricks of it's not just finding restaurants, it's figuring out how to order there. And I never order what I want in a restaurant. I order what the restaurant does best. And if I want something really strongly, I try to find a restaurant that does that best. But in general, I walk in, I suspend all yearnings and cravings, and I do what the restaurant does best. I never order veal parmesan in a diner, you know, even if I love veal parmesan, and I do.
You were quite happy. You found this kind of transcendent corned beef hash yesterday.
It wasn't transcendently delicious, which I regret. It was transcendently interesting because it was like a link back to a previous era of corned beef hash. It was like Paleolithic corned beef hash, and I had never gone back that far before. Now, it was like Fred Flintstone ate that hash.
Tell me a little bit about your site, chowhound.com.
It was just a labor of love that got out of control. I started a site for me and a few friends to swap tips, and we ended up with countless thousands of people raking every iota of deliciousness out of the chowscape from sea to shining sea. And it's reaching the point where we have a critical mass where no one will ever have to eat anything undelicious ever again, no matter where they ever go.
Well, I was amazed. I had actually looked at it a year or so ago, but when I was looking at it yesterday, there's hardly a community in North America that is untouched that has not been reviewed.
It's true. We're actually weak on the Maritimes. And now that I'm here, I'm really geared up to change that. I want to put in like a special board for that. Because, you know, I had like this New Yorker stereotypical preconception that everything up here is like cod and bland, I don't know what. Wrong. I've just been in Halifax for a day. I've been in the Maritimes for a week. But I've been eating great all week, and I'm loving Halifax, and I'm finding there's all sorts of amazing stuff here.
You were in St. John? Where else?
I was in St. John. I was in Lunenburg. I was in Wolfville, Kentville, and Port something near Kentville.
Port Williams, maybe?
Yeah. Port Williams. And, you know, I went to some of the restaurants that everybody told me to go to, the obvious places. They were not necessarily my favorite ones. As usual, the best stuff is beneath radar. You know, the best way to eat is sort of the best way to go see a magic act. When you see a magic act, you don't take the misdirection. If the magician wants you to look left, you look right. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do with restaurants too.
But there seems to be a certain amount of judging books by their covers. I mean, yeah. As you're driving by, what catches your eye?
The sum total of a lot of tiny little factors. Here's the big trick in my book. Maybe your listeners will have some better ideas, but this is how I do it. There's two types of people who open restaurants. There's people who want to feed you and nourish you and have talent and are really into it on a deep, warm basis. And then there's people who last week did karaoke bars or cleaned out swimming pools and heard they could make some money by opening up a sub joint. Those two types of people are so absolutely different that every little nuance of everything they do is going to be completely different. So it's very polar. You just are, is this person A or person B? Mm-hmm. And that's all I do is I drive by. And like, I can't tell you look for green awnings or places with Tony in the name, because if that worked, then everybody would have a green awning and Tony in the name. It's not like that. It's not quite that analytical, but just you have to sort of put together all the little clues you get from the name and the look and the vibe and the people inside and the lighting and the location. You know, if you see a place right downtown at the fastest corner in the world and they're trying to look slick, you know they're just trying to rake in dough, you know?
What about reading between the lines of menus themselves?
Well, ordermanship is a completely different art. I mean, in fact, that's my specialty. I'm a very good finder, but I'm a great orderer. My friend Barry back home is an unbelievable finder. I close. Like, he'll find a restaurant. He's not sure if it's Dominican or Puerto Rican or what the thing to get is. I never fail to order the best thing, and I can always tell where they're from, and I always get a relationship with the place.
You have good ordering karma.
Yeah, no, and ordering is everything. And again, the first thing you have to do, it's opposite of what you'd intuitively think. I view restaurants as being institutions devised to keep me from eating the most delicious thing. I have to find the good thing, and they don't make it easy. Your average Thai restaurant doesn't want me to have real Thai food. They don't want to make it really spicy. People don't want to give up what their best dishes are for all sorts of reasons. You know, what if you don't like it? You'll blame the waiter. You won't tip them. There's all sorts of things preventing me from doing my very best in that restaurant.
They're pulling their punches in a way.
Exactly. Well, not just that, but they're putting up scenery in front of me, screens, you know? And so what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get through all that, and I'm just trying to score. And it's almost like sports for me. It's like very competitive. And it's like I walk in the restaurant and I just think, I view them as like a football line, and they're trying to keep me from getting through and getting to that touchdown. And I'm just
going to
do
Give me an example. Give me an example.
Just restaurants with off menu things that the regulars know to eat that they don't tell that they don't tell outsiders. Places where they're trying to get you to eat. Every Puerto Rican or Dominican restaurant in the world, they're going to try to get you to eat the paella, and it's always a sucker bet. You never eat paella because it's the most expensive item. You know, they're trying to move dishes that have been sitting slowly. They don't believe you want the real thing. You know, if I go into a Thai place here, you know, in Halifax, where there's, you know, very little expectation of gringos like myself knowing Thai food, man, I got to get through so much cultural baggage. I got to drop names. I know a couple words of Thai. I need to do all sorts of things to get the experience that I want. And so that's all involved in closing a restaurant, ordering.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Again, we're asking to find out your technique for choosing a great restaurant. 1-800-565-1940. That's the toll-free line. 1-800-565-1940. In the Halifax area, 420-9336. Our first caller is Karen McPhee in Canoe Cove, Prince Edward Island. Hi.
Hi. Good afternoon.
What's your tip?
Longevity.
Longevity?
Yes.
Okay.
I traveled the world, Costas, with Canada's Royal Winnipeg Ballet and other theater companies, and six continents. And I've always asked, and one of the guys we traveled with, he was, Epicurean delight was what he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And we always would find out what seafood restaurant's been there the longest, what specialty restaurant, what restaurant's been there the longest. And I find it's the same here, right, even in PEI. If you want the best hamburger, you go to the oldest hamburger joint. If you want the best mom-and-pop restaurant, you go to one that was there when for 70 years. Now, not to say that the new restaurants aren't great as well, but if you really have limited time and you're only going to be in the town for a short time, I would always go for a restaurant that's been there for a long time.
Okay, what about longevity?
Well, first of all, if I have limited time, I use my own site. I love Chowhound. I mean, I hate to ask for tips. It's paradoxical. I've built this huge site where people give each other tips. I hate tips. I want to go out and find it myself. And I encourage all my users, don't just read Chowhound. Go find it. But as the caller says, sometimes you have limited time and you have to do things. So I check on Chowhound. The problem with longevity, though, is that restaurants start to fade. You know, it's like Tony Bennett singing, I left my heart in San Francisco every night. They get sick of it. And the staff changes and little corners are cut and compromises are taken that over time, the aggregation of which can lead to a less than delicious experience. Like the Ardmore. You know, you could see how little corners had been cut. I bet that was a slamming place in 1952. And now it's just got echoes. It's sort of like the telephone game where the rumor gets changed as it passes around the room between different chefs. The food doesn't have the same vitality anymore. Sometimes a really old restaurant keeps things up. Like Peter Luger's Steakhouse in New York, famous place, and it's 100 years old, and it's just dynamite because everything's in gear. It's like a well-greased machine. It's like perfect, and grease is a good term, by the way. But a lot of older restaurants sort of get decrepit. They build up compromises, and they rest on their laurels, and they rest on their name.
Yep. Any other comments, Karen?
Well, you know, I can see that in part, but I'm just thinking of all the older restaurants that I know of that are still... even if the decor is totally out to lunch or even no decor at all, you know, one of the best restaurants I've ever ate in was in Taipei, and there was only one menu in English, and there wasn't nothing to recommend it visually, but the food was to die for.
Yeah, there you go. That's really all that matters. I mean, great food makes its own ambiance. I can't imagine better ambiance than a really great Taiwanese rice sausage.
Oh, and when you finish, you know, you're just the sweat is just pouring off your brow.
Yeah, that's the good stuff.
Yeah, it's the real stuff. I mean, where the native people eat too, where the people who the blue collar or the people who just live in there. If you want, just you know, it depends on your range of money as well. You know, and sometimes you just want to. And sometimes you just want to be middle of the road.
I don't generally go to crowded restaurants. I find that crowds are attracted by low prices, lots of hype and PR, and crowds. Crowds create crowds. In fact, most of my favorite restaurants are completely desolate and empty most of the time, and I feel like I'm the only customer who's ever gone in. And that's kind of what fuels my passion for all this. I want to see the good guys win. I feel like the really best people who cook from heart and soul are generally under radar, under-supported. The press is lazy and doesn't go out and find them, and I do. And I'm trying to build up a community of people who feel like me, and we're just going to grassroots smoke out all the geniuses and holdouts and kooks out there.
But sometimes you must run into some of these that are empty for a good reason.
Yeah, for sure. Although not lately. I'm on a streak.
Yeah?
Yeah. Every place that I stop at because it looks good tends to be really good.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Karen.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Our next caller to Maritime Noon is Ernie Brennan in Melmurbe Beach, Nova Scotia. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Not too bad. What's your secret to choosing a great restaurant?
Well, I don't know. It would take all day to talk about that. But, no, I mean, I find for me that, you know, it's really talking with people in the community, and they tend to know the best place to eat. I mean, I don't tend to be a highbrow eater because I can never afford it. But, you know, I usually take my time. I'll go into a restaurant, look at the menu, you know, talk with the waiters. And, you know, I usually ask the waiters what's the best thing because they're usually a pretty good key of what they're going to eat or not eat. And just tend to look at their face when you ask them the question.
The problem is you got to figure out who to ask, though. You know, I mean, we tend to assume that like anyone Chinese knows all the best Chinese food and has impeccable taste. But I mean, how many Canadians have really good taste in fish cakes? How many Americans have really good taste in apple pie? You know what I mean? It's only a thin segment who really care what they like to eat. And I'm guessing the caller does some work on that and tries to psych out the people who are best.
Most people know what they like to eat. We have a problem here in the Maritimes where we don't have very good habits. So probably our choices wouldn't be what other people's choices would be. You know,
well, that's true all over. Eaters are lazy all over.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm here visiting in Pictou County, so I'm hoping to get into the Cayley, which again is a little hole in the wall. But I've had a lot of luck with holes in the walls. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. But again, probably in terms of a dietary thing, it's not good, but it certainly tastes good.
Okay, getting back to what you were saying, Jim, about watching a magic act and making sure that you don't go with the faint there, you know, there's that business of asking the waiter is kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, sometimes if you ask a waiter about something and they say, I don't think so. Now, could be giving you a good tip, could be trying to move you in the direction of something they want to get rid of. I mean, how do you know?
Yeah, you're a chow hound, obviously. That's like that's right on the core of the issue. Here's the thing. I wish there's no magic formula. It's not like you can ask cops, you can ask truck drivers, you can ask waiters. There's nobody who's going to give you information, good information for sure. What you have to psych out is the person with passion in their eye when you ask the question. You know, if you ask somebody where's good to eat and they go, I don't know, there's that chain over there. You know, you can ask them all day. You can give them like torture techniques. You can like strap them up to a rack. You are not going to get a good tip out of them. 10% maybe of people are really into food, and you just got to keep moving on until you find that person. And it's true of waiters, cops, truck drivers, or anybody else you want to ask. We're food
and
critics.
And they're really trying to persuade you that you really must go to this place. And this
right.
Time.
But to speak also to your question, you know, waiters have signals, and sometimes they give you signals. They don't want to say, don't order that, because that gets them into trouble with the chef, but they want to kind of guide you. You have to learn to play like that balletic dance with your waiter and figure out what he's trying to tell you. I actually had that last night in Tony's Cafe. Tony's Cuban Cafe here in Halifax.
Sometimes you have to be careful because the waiter's trying to pick you up too, so you have to be careful.
Yeah, right. It's like warfare. You understand. The caller gets it. Yeah, and you just have to strategize. It's all strategizing, and it's not just for food. It's for everything in life. You know, I get sick of just the mass market junk that's out there, movies that aren't entertaining, music that's not beautiful. You know, everything can be really, really good. But you have to stop settling for the bad stuff, and you have to learn to strategize for the treasure. Because if you don't actively hunt the treasure, you're never going to find it.
Yeah, just like potato chips.
Exactly.
Full of air. Anyways, thanks very much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Our next caller to Maritime Noon is Haley Thomas in St. Margaret's Bay, Nova Scotia. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Not too bad. What's your secret to finding a great restaurant?
Well, I guess, first of all, I cook a lot. So
yes.
I tend to look for things I wouldn't normally prepare at home on a menu. And my kitchen doesn't always look so good, so I don't tend to judge a place by its appearances only. I guess I'm from Nova Scotia, so I'm pretty tired of fish, as you can well imagine, I suppose. And another point is I always look at who is sitting in the restaurant and whether or not they're, you know, in my age group or kind of look like people that I might associate with. And usually that's a pretty good judge of, you know, whether it's going to be good for me.
Okay.
And also, I like variations on traditional fare as well.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Such as? Any good ones you've run into lately?
Well, I went into this sushi place in downtown Halifax, and they had something called a sushi pizza, which sounds absolutely appalling. But really, it was a nice a tempura rice base with your regular sushi toppings on it. And it was quite wonderful and really interesting.
I've had that in Toronto, actually. It's really good. I wonder if that's like a Canadian sushi thing. You can't get it in the States.
Pardon?
You can't get it in the States. It's only in Canada.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Wow, it's as local as maple syrup, I guess. Sushi pizza.
No, that's really cool. I'd never heard of it before, other than, you know, a couple of weeks ago, my friend took me out and said I had to try this.
Yeah.
And
And I like the idea of looking at the demographic in the restaurant, although I do it slightly different. I don't do it by age. I do it by passion. Do they look happy?
Yeah,
you know, it's like when you're standing in line to see a movie and everybody comes out of the previous show and they all look miserable and you bolt the line. You know, I mean, it's easy. Just look. And the other thing is looking at food is another great thing. You know, do the perp walk. Walk through the restaurant as if to get a takeout menu or use the bathroom and subtly look at what people are eating. You can get a lot of data from looking at plates.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like I'm 23 years old. I never go in. I mean, I've been turned away from places that, you know, a bunch of little gray heads are sitting there and they're very quiet. And I guess the aesthetic or the appearance of the place does kind of matter to me.
Or people look like they're eating out of duty.
Exactly.
Rather than for pleasure.
Yeah, you know, people who are eating to live. God, that's just the worst.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Our next caller is John McKenzie in Fredericton. Hi.
Hi there. How are you doing today?
Not too bad at all. What's your secret to finding a great restaurant?
Well, actually, I was calling about when you mentioned about some of the desolate restaurants being the better places to eat. Might come from the fact that a lot of them have really great cooking skills and not that great marketing PR skills.
Mm-hmm.
Or money. It takes a lot of money to do the PR and marketing, and restaurants are on such a fine line that, you know, if you don't have some fat cat investor or private money of yourself, and you're just, you know, and I feel for these people who just like build some little place out in some shopping strip that you'd never even think about, and they're just making the most delicious this or that. And, you know,
yeah.
You just can't get press out there. You can't afford a PR agent. What do you do? Most of them just wither on the vine. Drives me crazy.
Yeah.
I don't like to see anything.
Somebody comes along and notices something, and maybe they do all right.
Yeah,
so
like
so
you and me.
This is how your website, in a way, provides the kind of word of mouth that doesn't work in the community itself, perhaps.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and we're trying to stick up for the little guys, especially now, because the chains are taking over at every level of the restaurant industry. It used to be just the lower level, but now, I mean, you know, every restaurant critic you talk to will admit that if you do a reader poll, Olive Garden will always win best Italian restaurant in town. Everywhere. Everywhere. You know? So the mid-level's being tied up, and even the top-level's being tied up. You have these star chefs with their names who don't even cook your food. Jean George, who's got like 12 high-end restaurants all over, he's like Ronald McDonald. He's just a figurehead. He actually cooks wonderfully, but you're not going to get his hands on your food. And so the entire industry is being locked up by chains, and that's making it even harder for these guys to get a foothold in this precarious industry. So we're sort of like the loyal opposition, the consumers who refuse to drink the Kool-Aid and refuse to eat where we're told. And we demand deliciousness.
Yeah, and the adventure, the discovery, you know, the hey, guess what I found? Or,
yeah, and it feels great. I mean, it's so much more fun than just like looking in your Zagat or your guidebook and trying to like go from place to place like some scavenger hunt. You're not really there. To be there, you got to go do the prime work on the ground and just go eat around and find great stuff and build up stories and adventures. It's the best thing you can do. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling.
All right.
That toll-free number to Maritime Noon, 1-800-565-1940, 1-800-565-1940. In Halifax, 420-9336. And in case you've just joined us, my guest today is Jim Leff. He is the Chow Hound. He is on a search for hyper-deliciousness, and we're trying to find out your tips for finding great restaurants. 1-800-565-1940, toll-free in Halifax, 420-9336. Our next caller to Maritime Noon is Marie Jardine in Canning, Nova Scotia. Hi.
Hi.
What's your secret?
Well, I don't have any secrets because I've been wrong a lot of times when I go into restaurants. But I find, depending on what mood, what I feel like eating, what mood I'm in, you know, if I want French fries, they have to be fresh cut. Like frozen just will not do. And I've been called a French fry snob many times. And I find that places that don't have a deep fryer are usually good restaurants. Like they'll have really good salads and really good bread and lots of great stuff on the menu. And I find that, you know, if you can have a peek into the kitchen or, you know, seeing what other people are eating on their plates, it really has a lot to do with, you know, how you decide.
I've got a question for you as an outsider. I keep seeing signs up for fresh-cut French fries, and I go in, and they seem to be kind of frozen French fries in a bag, and they came from Alberta on some big truck.
Yeah.
How do you figure out if they're really fresh-cut or not? Do you go out in the garbage and look for peels?
Well, usually it's you can tell just by looking at them. Like, have you eaten at any of the French fry trucks in Halifax?
No, that's today. I want to go to Spud Bud or whatever his name is.
Yeah. So when you see those, fresh-cut fries aren't really smooth. They have crisp edges, and you can kind of see
bits
almost
of peel.
Like the saw marks on a piece of
but
wood.
How do you know before you see the fries, when you're passing the restaurant, how can you determine if they're lying when they say they have fresh-cut French fries inside? Is there any way?
Well, most people that advertise fresh-cut, they are, but if you can sort of see other people's plates when you walk in, I can tell at a glance, actually.
Wow, that's great. Like, how long does it take? Is it like a fraction of a second?
To see?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because like I said, they look, the edges are crisper on fresh-cut fries, and oftentimes they will have the peel still on them, but a lot of, like I think Bud the Spud buys their potatoes that already pre-peeled,
yeah.
But it just depends on, you know, the restaurant, because you can buy them pre-peeled and then cut them and then deep fry them. But
you know, I would give you my pizza vision skills if you would give me your French fry vision skills. Is there any way
sure.
that we can get like some cosmic swapping of abilities here?
Yeah, but you know, like I said, it's you can really tell by looking, because the edges are crisper and you mm-hmm. can almost see the marks of them going through the machine that they push them through.
Oh, the marks. Are they sort of vertical relative to the length of the French fry, or are they horizontal?
Horizontal. Because, you know, when you look at a piece of wood and you can see the saw marks,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like that with a potato.
Wow. Can you get a photo of that and we could put it up on the website? Maybe we
could
put it up on the
try.
Maritime. Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, no, that would be great to look for these striations.
And again, I think nobody would dare put the sign in the window and then not deliver.
I've
oh,
heard it.
No,
I've
that's
seen
not
it happen.
French fries.
No.
That's happened to me many
over
times.
Over and over. But yeah, but we need, you know, we need to do a field guide to French fries.
I was, you know what, I wanted to do a French fry report on like a news show or something.
Do it for Chowhound. You could be our French fry reporter from Nova Scotia.
Sure,
I anoint you.
To. Yeah, yeah. I've been called French fry snob many times. So, and it's the same with home fries. When I go out for breakfast,
don't get me
started. I cannot stand when they tell me they're getting home fries, and yeah. I get these deep fried cubes.
It's post McDonald's. It's those clumps they serve at McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So for me, for the breakfast, it's whether they serve real boiled potatoes, like fried on the grill, maybe a little bacon fat in there, you know, that's the best, that makes the breakfast for me. The eggs could be horrible and the toast could be burnt, but if my home fries are fresh, then I just love that.
You don't know what we go through in New York for French fries. They're all dark orange from this awful coloring, and they've got green peppers in them just for coloring juxtaposition. There's no reason green peppers need to be in there. The onions are like crunchy raw onions, and the whole thing just tastes like bad old grease. There's no potato flavor at all.
I've
got to move out of there. I'm actually thinking of moving to Halifax. You're complaining about your home fries here. You have no idea how bad it can get.
Yeah, well, you know, there are a few good places for home fries. And
tell me
I
where. Give me
first.
A couple. Since we have you on the phone, where's good home fries?
Oh gosh.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, you're putting me on the spot now.
Why don't you stay on the line, and our director will get that from you.
Okay, sure.
And we'll announce it later.
Good enough.
Great.
Okay.
You're listening to Maritime Noon. I'm Costas Halavrezos. My guest today is New York-based food writer Jim Leff. He's co-founder of the website Chowhound.com, and we want to hear your secret to finding a great restaurant. 1-800-565-1940, the toll-free number in the Halifax area, 420-9336. We'll return to your calls after this news update with Mihira Lakshman. Mihira.
Thank you, Costas. Some of the stories we're following around the region. The Nova Scotia government wants to set more rules on how and where cigarettes are sold in the province. Minister of Health Promotion and Protection Barry Barnett wants the wall of cigarettes behind convenience store counters to either be covered up or taken down. He also wants further limitation on the number of places people can buy tobacco. Fredericton MP Andy Scott says more Canadians will lose home mail delivery under new safety standards being developed by Canada Post. Scott says the new standards take into account many factors, including traffic flows, sight lines, and in some areas, speed limits. So far, more than 50,000 homes across Canada have lost direct mail delivery, including 1,100 addresses in the greater Fredericton area. PEI's Lieutenant Governor has started an ambassador family program for international students studying at UPEI. Barbara Hagerman says she'll be an ambassador to 6 students, inviting them for meals at holidays and providing emotional support. She's inviting other islanders to do the same. Now taking a look at the weather for New Brunswick, a rainfall warning in effect for northern regions today, cloudy periods with rain, high of 14 degrees. For tonight, periods of rain at times heavy and on a low of 10. For Nova Scotia today, mainly cloudy with a chance of showers and heavy rain in the afternoon, becoming windy, a high of 15. Tonight, periods of rain and gusty winds and a low of 10. For Prince Edward Island today, periods of rain and a high of 14. Tonight, more rain, gusty winds as well, and a low of 11 degrees. That's your news and weather, Costas.
Thank you very much, Mihira. And back to the phone lines on Maritime Noon. Our next caller is Roger Vanderpoel in Fredericton. Hi.
Hi there.
What's your secret to finding a great restaurant?
I had to call only because, Jim, you sound so enthusiastic about food. I love that, and I love someone who's got that absolute zeal for trying to find a great restaurant. So
zeal?
Just a couple.
Zeal.
Oh, sorry.
Zeal.
Yeah.
That's absolute life. In Vancouver, Sushi Bang, a little mom and pop shop the last time I was there, which was years ago, prepared the food themselves. Great value for food, and the food is absolutely delicious. If you like Thai food in Ottawa, Siam Kitchen. in Toronto, down in Chinatown, a little place called Swatow, hole in the wall, at least where it was about 10 years ago, S-W-A-T-O-W. The food is literally prepared so fresh, it's alive on the plate.
But, you know, now, we're not really looking for recommendations for particular restaurants.
We're not. I'm writing these all down.
My point, Costas, is this.
You can do this on Chow House. He can do this on Chow House.
It's all out of control. Yeah.
You have the other 23 hours a day.
A lot of places are locations where the food has been prepared by the proprietors.
Oh, yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And here in Fredericton, there are a few Chinese there's one Chinese restaurant called the Sun Prince, and you can literally see the wife is out at the front counter and the husband's out back cooking, and they've got a glass window where you can actually see these folks cooking the food themselves.
That's good.
And I think that, for me, is one of the biggest indications of a good restaurant, is that you actually see, you see the folks that started these restaurants, or Joe's Diner. I mean, they've got, the entire diner is open, and you can see them pulling the meat off the bird. You can see them chopping up the vegetables and throwing them in the fryer. You can actually see them stir-frying whatever they're cooking. And that, to me, is the number one thing that I look for when I'm looking for a decent place to eat. The other one, I tell you my hint here.
Well, can we just deal with that issue for one second?
Yeah.
What's your name again?
Roger.
Roger, what have we come to? What has this world come to when we say that we're looking for somebody who actually cooks food? You know what I mean? And you're right. You're right in what you're saying. A lot of places just open up cans. A lot of places, more than you'd believe. Or, you know, there's not even a chef. There's just some kid opening up cans according to a formula in the back. And that's actually probably 70.
Isn't that depressing to you?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that depressing to you that the art of food preparation, just the sheer love of taking natural products, cooking them, adding spices, mixtures, whatever combinations, and actually having something that you can look at and smell and taste and touch and feel and fill in your stomach and actually feel good about it, mm-hmm. has been replaced by someone burping open some plastic bag, tossing it in a boiler, cutting open a can and dumping it onto a... That's disgusting.
Well, I know it would give you nightmares, and that is looking at a restaurant trade magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at what's
never,
being sold out there
that.
These days.
Never do that. Just, oh, God. No, I don't find that depressing, and here's why, and this is the crux of my very existence. I could turn into a curmudgeon and say, oh, everything's turning to crud, and just get bitter and, oh, that's crud. No, I see crud all over the place. I Photoshop it off of my landscape, and I look for the exceptions, and I harness all my passion to finding those exceptions so I can live my life in a delusional bubble where I pretend that quality is everywhere and people care about things. Because you know what? There are people everywhere where you least expect it. In all those sprawls you write off outside of town, there's going to be one or two people doing amazing things. And I find them, and I love them, and I support them, and I evangelize them, and I built a huge website to spread the word about them. And that's what you got to do. We can either turn into bitter curmudgeons, or we can turn into chow hounds. It's one or the other, people.
If 95% of the restaurants weren't mediocre, it'd be hard to find the good 5%, wouldn't it?
That's the spirit.
Focus on the five. Go.
I'd like to share one other thing here. Restaurants where you have people sitting around and having polite conversation and eating their foods with, fork and knife and having very polite atmosphere and that sort of thing. If you want to go to a restaurant, you go somewhere where people are focused on their food.
Yeah.
They are eating. They are putting the food in their mouth because they can't help themselves. And the talk might not be so great, but boy, I tell you, people are loving their meal. And that's where you find good food.
Yeah.
People aren't distracted with conversation, polite social interaction.
Conversation does not belong at a meal. Thomas Jefferson insisted that all his guests eat in utter silence. Now, that's the spirit,
Except and for the noise of crunching bones.
Yeah, that's fine. Crunching anything. Crunchy is good. But here's the thing. It's not just the diners. The entire restaurant, a good restaurant, has a pace, has a bracing feeling, an energy in the air. And you can tell it's basically everybody involved, from eater to busboy to waiter to chef, knows something great's going on. And you can feel it as soon as you put your head in the door. And that's really the trick. And you're kind of hinting at that. But it's a vibe. It's an energy, and it's like everywhere, and it socks you. And you're not going to find it at Wendy's.
Well, thanks for calling.
Food and bringing it to the table. When the owners are out there, they are on the front lines. You know that they're watching all this.
Okay, yeah. Roger.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Our next caller is John Norris in Halifax. Hi.
How you doing?
Not too bad. What's your secret to finding a great restaurant?
I drive cabs here in Halifax.
Yes.
So I just ask the waiters and waitresses when I'm taking them to work and when I'm picking them up after shift.
And you get the no BS stuff from them.
I get the no BS.
Right.
You know what? If they're happy about going to work, I know it's a pretty good place. If it's a good place, you can count on the food. If they don't look happy to be going to work, then I know there's probably an issue in the kitchen or with the management.
Wait a minute. How many waiters can afford cabs?
Oh, they, you know, in Halifax, they all have to because they can't afford to get around. You can't buy a car and drive downtown.
Right. Yeah, that makes
right?
sense. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of them are students or, you know, they live in the apartment fairly close, but, you know, they're
going to... So you're out there gathering human intelligence.
All the time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
All the time. I mean, I know where the good food is, and I know where the bad food is.
Come to Chowhound and share your information with your fellow hounds. It's free to get in. I have no, you know, we're trying to build up a resource where everybody can connect ourselves with the good stuff outside of the hype machine, outside of that spotlight that people shine if they're paid to shine it. Chowhound's
right.
just about the real people looking for the real food. We need your tips.
Well, see, there's no hype at all with me because, you know,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of these younger people and even some of the older people, I've built up a relationship over, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years. They know me. I know them. I ask them a question. They give me an honest answer.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so what are some of the revelations that have come to you in these conversations with waiters?
Revelation.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's anything that deep.
No, but just interesting information, for instance, you know, that caught your interest.
You know, I know if the restaurant's changed hands.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's hard to know chefs, like if a chef leaves or not. That's highly guarded information. That's like CIA-level information. You know, you drag that out of a restaurateur, but you know this stuff.
Absolutely, and you know, one of the things I found is if you get a new chef or if it's changed hands, they've just paid a lot of money. I mean, downtown Halifax is expensive to operate here, so if they paid a lot of money for this restaurant, they're going to try to get their money back fast.
Which means corners cut.
And they're going to start to slice at the corners. Yep.
Yeah.
And I see it, and I've seen it some really nice restaurants in this city over the years. And, you know, you'll ask, well, hell, how's it? Or, well, they won't say that. You ask how things are. You ask how the food is because you've got the same staff and say, well, you know, they're doing this, then they're doing that. They've changed the menu. They've raised the price. You know,
yep.
You don't get this. You don't get that.
Right.
So, you know, I make little mental notes of all this.
This is great. I mean, I hope the listeners are just checking out how everybody's strategizing. We're getting great callers. They're all mm-hmm. serious Chowhounds. Mm-hmm. And this is what it's about. You know, if you just sit passively back and eat where you're told, you're not going to eat that well. You're not going to have that experience of closing your eyes and slamming your fist on the table and saying, my God, it's good to be alive. And you know what? Food can make you do that. And food should make you do that every meal, if possible, or at least you try for it. And the only way you're going to hit that point is by working at it and putting some energy. Yeah, and
well, you know,
I love your spirit.
I'm a slow cooker at home, and my wife loves my cooking because I'm a slow cooker. You know, for me, it's like a 3-hour gig.
Yeah, right, right.
And it's worth it.
Built for comfort
really
food,
is.
Not for speed.
No, listen, guys, I got a fare to get in my car, so I have to
okay.
let you go. Okay.
Thanks.
But if you want to hang on or take me off the air just for a second, I'll tell you where the best home fries are in the city.
You bet.
Okay, our director will take that information. We'll pass that on. Our next caller is Steve Lee in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. Hi.
Hi there. I'm just actually pulled off the highway.
Good.
Highway 103, and great show, Costas and Jim. I'm getting hungry. I haven't had lunch yet. But this is probably more of a question than anything else. You know, you find a restaurant that you like, and you know, that's sometimes hard, but the menu never changes, you know. It's always the same thing. I kind of like a place where they change it up a little bit and where not just a special of the day, but you like the way they cook, you like the way they prepare food. And is that unreasonable to expect that?
You've basically built up some trust in this restaurant.
Yeah.
You just want to see how they apply their technique to some new stuff.
Maybe it's not sort of financially viable, but, you know, is that outrageous to expect that?
Jim?
I have no expectations. Again, I feel like I'm doing battle against the universe to try to find greatness. You know, all forces in the universe are geared towards cutting corners and making maximal profit from minimal effort and people getting tired and not caring and getting lazy and hype and publicity. I mean, like, every factor in the universe is stacked against me. And that's where I might sound a little energetic and off the wall. It's because I'm just used to fighting against it. So I have no expectations at all. I take it as it comes and I work it as it comes. And I expect all my old favorites to go downhill over time as they start cutting corners or get sick of it or whatever, and I'm constantly looking for new places. Don't start relying on old reliable. The universe is in a state of perpetual flux.
I can think of one restaurant, for example, you know, that's supposed to be a good restaurant, and I just don't go there anymore because every time, and this may sound trite, but you get the same vegetable with every dish, winter, spring, summer, fall, you know. So I just kind of said one day, you know, is it, have you thought about changing? Oh, no, that's our signature vegetable, you know. But it's you know, turnip and carrots, summer, spring, winter, fall. And,
well, know, I mean, if they're good turnips and carrots, just go to it once in a while so you don't get sick of it, you know? I order restaurants the way other people order dishes. You know, if I feel like this, I go there. If I feel like that, I go there. You know what I mean? The restaurants in a town are my menu.
Yeah.
And, you know, some days you might feel like those turnips and carrots, and you got them right there.
Yeah, but the best, I'll end on this, the best taste experience I ever had in my life was about 15 or 16 years ago. I was in Thailand. It was a downpour. I had an umbrella, and there was an old lady squat by the side of the road with a little stall and a wok with a gas burner. And she cooked me something. It had, I know it had egg and rice and what I think was chicken in it and the sauce. And it was, I have never tasted anything like it since. It was absolutely incredible.
Was there pineapple?
Yes, there was pineapple.
Okay, yeah. That was Thai pineapple fried rice. People tend to see pineapple fried rice on a Thai menu and assume that it's pandering. It's not. It's serious Thai food.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, no, that's great when it's good. There's a couple good places in Queens, New York for it. Look for a place called Sri Prafai.
Okay.
And in Las Vegas, Lotus of Siam also makes it very well.
Great. Well, thanks a lot, guys. Great.
Thanks for calling in. That was a great story.
Bye.
Story.
Bye.
Our next caller is Bernice Miner in Dartmouth. Hi.
Hello.
And what's your secret to finding a great restaurant?
I'm afraid I haven't found that secret, but I do have a question.
Yes?
Is it possible that restaurant food can leave out MSG? Is that a prerequisite to being a good chef?
Well, Asian cuisines consider monosodium glutamate to be a flavor.
Yes,
and
I know that.
It's intrinsic to the cuisine, and if you ask them to leave it out, it's not going to really taste like the cuisine anymore. It'll taste different. Why, are you allergic to it? Do you get that flushing stuff?
Yes, and I found that talking with other people that this happens quite frequently.
But not to everybody, but to some people. You get the headaches and the flushes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, try to avoid Asian cuisines except more fancy restaurants where they'll be more adaptive and flexible.
Well, the thing is that it's just not Asian food. It's plain old Canadian food.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess anytime you're using highly processed foods like, you know, chains and places like that that are just opening cans, the kind of places we're talking about, those highly processed foods do tend to contain additives like MSG. Again, look for the better places. Look for the places where people are just cooking it by hand and from scratch. You know, you can eliminate your problem and increase your deliciousness at the same time.
Okay.
Did I say pineapple curry? Pineapple fried rice was the title.
No, pineapple fried rice is what you said. Yeah,
bothering me.
Right.
Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Bye.
Our next caller is David Bacody in Dartmouth. Hi.
Hi, Costas. How are you today?
Great. What's your secret to finding a great restaurant?
Costas, I'm going to come at things for a different angle here because I haven't heard it mentioned yet.
Okay.
But you wouldn't believe the wonderful, wonderful information that has been passed today. What it is, I'm retired now. So what I do now, or what we do, my wife and I, when we go out to eat, we tend to go to places that we've liked in the past because I'm on a fixed budget being retired, and we really don't want to leave with a bad taste in our mouth.
Right. Yeah. You can't afford to.
Yes, because you watch it. And having said that, and even if we want to go eat, we can drive to the valley. If we know there's nice restaurants down in the Annapolis Valley, so you drive down there, and here's another thing we do. We eat less while have the entree, maybe a glass of water or something, and because we're driving, there won't be any drinking. And then later on in the day, we stop at another restaurant that we know that has good dessert and have dessert and coffee at another restaurant.
My brother. I mean, that's you're stating the ethos here, and that's like the number one symptom of a true chow hound is someone who's willing to go really far out of their way for deliciousness. I drive 70 miles for donuts. That's like about 2,000 kilometers. What's 70 miles? It's far. It's like an hour. All right. And and what you're saying is right. And stopping at multiple restaurants and doing what you have to do. You know, we're living in a beautiful era when even non-rich people can go anywhere they want, anytime they want. If you want to drive to Florida right now, you know, you can do it. It's not going to cost $10,000, you know? And for the entire history of the human race, this mobility was something that came with class. So now, even if you're retired and on fixed budget, you can go, you know, a couple hours away easily and eat and just find great stuff. And that's fantastic. And the limited budget doesn't matter. You know, I'm actually spending very little money on this trip, even eating as high as I am, because It's, you know, it's just about finding little things here and there. You know, I'm not going to sit down at some sumptuous restaurant and order every entree on the menu, unless I'm doing formal reviews. But just as an eater, I'm not going to do that. It's just about finding stuff, looking around. It's not an expensive thing. This is not an economic issue. And your caller's doing it just right. You just get the energy and you drive and you find the stuff and you go to a couple places if you have to and you build up your chow intelligence.
You're absolutely right, because I remember telling my wife years ago, and people, I think, had the, of course, it might have been to my detriment, I told her there's nothing wrong with going in a restaurant and just sitting down and having a cup of coffee and one item on the menu.
People, you choose the item carefully.
You're sitting in the restaurant, and you don't have to have the blue plate special.
Right.
We've heard so many times, it said, oh, I can't afford each, it's going to cost $100. No, it's not.
Yeah, no, you're so right. You know, I think a lot of the reason that I've gotten good at this is I started out as a musician. In real life, I'm a jazz trombone player. And musicians see the back end of things, the inside of things, you know, and we learn not to get caught in the trappings of things that go on. We don't use things the way we're intended to be used. So I go into a restaurant. I know what they want me to do. They want me to order four courses and the wine and everything. No. I'm going to strategize what I want to do. I'm going to pull out what I want to pull out, and I'm going to use it my way. And I'm always angling for an angle. And it's just what you're doing. It's great. Do you play music?
No, I don't, but
You just came upon it.
I'm a great fan of music, just period. Yes.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Our next caller is John Maisie, who's on a cell phone somewhere near Moncton this afternoon. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Fine. What's your secret to finding a great restaurant?
I got a couple different ones.
Okay.
One is, if I'm on the road, I'll tend to flip an email to either the mayor of the local town or city or some counselors. Sometimes you're lucky, you get a response back and you find some hidden gems, and that's worked well for me in the past.
Interesting.
If I'm on
going the political route.
Yeah, well, kind of, because like you get the travel brochures and everything else, but you usually find the only ones that can afford to advertise it are the change and higher end restaurants that got a fair budget, but. Mm-hmm. I like finding the hidden gems.
Actually, let me just break in. Sorry, one little exception to that is the Yellow Pages. Everybody can afford to be in the Yellow Pages. So one of the big tricks is go through the Yellow Pages and don't look at the big display ads, but look at the names and sort of get what you can out of the names and learn things like that. Like if you see a place called Angkor Wat, that means there's Cambodian places. Cambodian places always called Angkor Wat. And so, you know, there's stuff like that you can do. All right, sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
Okay, no, that's a great point. In the city, like in Moncton, if I want to try somewhere different, I'm actually finding some of the office buildings have a nice little bistro or something tucked away in it. There's one I can think of in Moncton, the Chef's Bistro. Everything's done from scratch. She has amazing desserts, and you can go in and probably eat, you know, your previous caller said don't eat everything at one place, but you can eat everything at one place for like $12, and the food's amazing.
Well, that sounds great.
So we've been lucky that way, and, you know, all in all, I spend a fair amount on restaurants every year because I'm on the road so much.
Right.
And I find staying away from the big change tends to reward my palate.
For sure.
Much better.
Hey, look, it's great to be able to sit down and have a full meal in a place and have it be great. It takes some ordering skill. You know, in my opinion, a restaurant where all the dishes are terrible except one great dish is a great restaurant. You just have to figure out what that dish is. And I fervently believe that. But the thing about asking the mayor, again, there's no one person you can ask, including restaurant critics, and get for sure good tips. You know, you just got to find the right person with the right blaze in their eyes who's really passionate about it. Or ask musicians. Go to the local nightclub and ask the guys in the band.
Yeah, and that's, you know, we're fortunate among them. We now have a food critic that's in one of the local Hando papers, and, you know, that's what they're doing. And these guys aren't professional by any stretch of the imagination. Just guys enjoy food, and they'll say, you know, this restaurant, the wings are great, but stay away from the soup.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's, you know, my wife and I have followed up on that.
That's good.
The last thing I'll throw in, lady was talking about French fries a little earlier. The best fries, in my opinion, are in Camelton, New Brunswick. They're hand cut. Lady peels them and cuts them all by hand. No two are alike. I'm biased because it's my mother's restaurant, but I thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, thanks for admitting it.
You've declared the conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
One other point with for traveling people is the concierge issue, and it's also the taxi issue. These people who work in the travel industry are paid off to give tips. So I use the four rule. I ask them for three tips, and I ignore all three, and then I ask them for a fourth. And you can see them thinking and their eyes raise, and that's when you get the real tip.
the thing that they really care about. You know, you mentioned you're thinking about moving up here. I don't know if you are or not, but you should be here. You know, as a musician, as someone who likes food, because I was just thinking a couple of weeks ago on Canadian Thanksgiving, there was a special in this time slot that went coast to coast, and it was called Beans, and it was about the connection between great bean dishes and jazz musicians. Right up both your alleys.
Interesting.
There we are. Wow. Our next caller is Rob Wallace in Noel Shore, Nova Scotia. Hi.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you today?
Not too bad at all. What's your secret to finding a great restaurant?
Well, I'm not going to give you a secret to finding a good one. I've been let down so many times. I know that they say, word of mouth is the best advertising, but, you know, I've heard from so many people that would say, you got to try this place. You got to try this place. You got to eat this here. And I've been let down so many times, more than, I've been, sort of pleased.
Yeah.
But I think it's just a matter of, people having different tastes, I suppose.
Well, also, conventional wisdom is manufactured. The same press agents and people we were talking about before, with the cost of all that money, they not only sort of put out ads and things like that, but they can really affect popular opinion. And places that get touted, get touted. People tout the places that get touted. And, it's just a rippling effect. And that's just how the human mind works. And a lot of the people who are going to tip you to places are going to tip you to the same old, same old. Again, look in their eye. Look for the passion. Consider the source.
Right. Just another note, if you're looking for a local pizza person for your committee, I'd certainly volunteer for that.
You got it. Yeah. You're in.
There's two great
what
places.
What makes a great pizza for you, though?
Well, it's just not the mainstream, throw the dough together, throw things on it, put it in the oven. I mean, you can tell there's two places around town. One's outside of Halifax, out in Elmsdale, called Bitar's. Absolutely fabulous.
How do you spell that?
Bitar, B-I-T-A-R.
Wow.
And you talk about just a tiny little hole-in-the-wall spot. I think there's only about, half a dozen tables or so inside. They've got a little, deck out front. And just totally different from any pizza I've ever had. And also in town, which Costas will know about, would be Alexander's. I think they have a couple branches, one in Dartmouth, one in Cole Harbour, and one in Halifax.
I keep hearing about Dartmouth. Is Dartmouth a good chow area?
I'm from Dartmouth originally. It depends who you ask.
Right.
I've been told, I quote a friend who said, the best part of Halifax, the best part about Halifax is looking at it from the Dartmouth side.
Thanks for calling.
All right, then.
Also occasionally known as the Jersey side of Halifax. Ah. Okay. Our next caller is David Fletcher in Lance, Nova Scotia. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon.
Your secret.
The show. It's a lot of fun to listen to, especially as you're cooking supper.
Ah, getting a jump on it.
Thanks for me for finding a great restaurant. One is to find a reviewer that you trust.
Yes.
Who goes to a variety of places and says things fairly honestly. And, I'm no relation of Bill Spur, but I love his column on Friday in the papers because he tells it like it is.
Mm-hmm.
And always look forward to reading that.
Speaking as a reviewer myself, I've got several guidebooks out and I've written for a bunch of magazines and newspapers. I'll tell you, try not to trust reviewers too much. The whole point of Chow Hound, I'm sort of the Mikhail Gorbachev of restaurant critics. Everything I do plants the seeds for my own destruction. I don't know this guy, Bill. Maybe he's wonderful. There's exceptions. But for the most part, restaurant critics are quite lazy and they sit in their cubicles and read press releases.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. He goes out with his family. And that's one of the things that I like about his reviews, because you get the perspective from he, his wife, and his...
Oh, sorry.
And his young son.
Oh, yes.
Sorry about that.
Oh,
and
that's okay.
So you get a variety of opinions. And the other thing that I look for in a restaurant is when I go with my partner, we like to be able to look at each other's plate and say, gee, I almost wish I'd had that.
Okay, I'm afraid we've run out of time, but thanks for calling in.
Hey.
And Jim, thank you for joining us.
Ciao.
Happy hunting.
My pleasure.
Jim Leff is a New York-based food writer, jazz trombonist, and co-founder of the website chowhound.com. He's in the process of eating his way across North America in a quest of hyper-deliciousness. Monday on the phone in, Jim White will answer your questions about painting. That's the show for the week. Technical operations by Doug Barron or Mario Brede. Maritime Noon is produced by Deborah Woolway.
Now, the National Research Council official time signal. At the start of the long dash following 10-second silence, the time will be 2 o'clock Atlantic time.